The Vietnam War, it's over.
Your job just begun.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of Spycraft. Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Thanks for tuning into Americana Music Profiles. The next episode starts right now.
You are tuned in to another edition of Americana Music Profiles, brought to you by Americana Rhythm Music Magazine and AmericanaMusicMagazine.com. I'm your host, Greg Tutwiler. Let's jump right in to the next exciting interview. Arkansas singer-songwriters Justin Patterson and Laura Lynn Danley formed the folk Americana duo Tenpenny Gypsy in 2016. In 2018, they received nominations for the Arkansas CMA's Album of the Year, Americana Artist of the Year, and Vocal Group of the Year. They join me for this edition of Americana Music Profiles as we talk about their career and their new single, River in Me. All right, on the call with me today is Justin Patterson and Laura Lynn Danley, better known as Tenpenny Gypsy. Welcome, guys.
Hey, thanks for having us. It's great to be with you again.
Yeah, Greg, good to talk to you.
Yeah, we were chatting offline, and I think it's been almost 3 years, maybe, since we've actually got to do this. So it's good to catch up. There's been so much stuff that's happened in the last 2.5 to 3 years. Yeah. But you guys have got some good stuff going on, obviously, with your music. So let's just back up just a bit for those that didn't get to listen to our first interview a couple years ago. You guys are in Little Rock, is that right?
We are, yes, Little Rock, Arkansas.
And both had solo careers and then found your way to each other around 2016, is that right?
That is correct. We met at a songwriter festival in Hot Springs, Arkansas. We were both kind of had our own separate solo things going on and didn't know each other. And all sorts of things happened at this songwriter festival. And we ended up basically behind the same microphone singing harmony for another friend together. And it just kind of clicked from there. Then we started writing and performing together not long after that.
We actually met in 2009.
Oh, wow. That was a long time. Okay. Yeah. So you guys actually had the opportunity to play music together before you formed Tenpenny Gypsy then.
Yes, as individual songwriters, we were obviously both already sharing our music with the world. And when we met, we started adding our harmonies to one another's music. And in 2016, we decided to start working on our first album.
Do you guys still do any solo gigs at all individually?
You know, you would think. You'd think that we would, but we don't really.
Yeah.
We're actually going to be a featured artist at a 34th anniversary for a poetry night tonight in Hot Springs, Arkansas. And even that we're going to go do as a duo. So
I think sometimes if one of us is out of town, you know, because we both kind of travel a lot. And sometimes if one of us is away for something and there's a show that one of us can, you know, kind of handle just solo. We still do that, but we don't go out and actively book solo gigs very much.
Yeah. Okay.
I think we like the sound that we created together.
That's a nice segue into my next question. You guys had your own unique thing going when you were solo, and now it's you're kind of in that Americana camp, and it's a big umbrella, but you guys fit very nicely in that. Was that sound intentional, or did it just, is that what you got when you brought your music together?
Oh, I think it was just kind of a natural, organic thing, basically, mm-hmm. because, you know, our influences, who we listened to growing up, you know, I'm a big fan of the 70s singer-songwriters, the James Taylors and the Jackson Browns and the mm-hmm. Gordon Lightfoots. And that kind of really affected the way I songwrite and the way that I accompany my songs on the guitar.
Okay.
And, you know, Laura had a separate set of influences.
Yeah, I like to say, and I'm not the one, this isn't my quote, but they say if Gordon Lightfoot and James Taylor had a love child, that would be Justin Patterson. I think that was an interesting quote. Yeah. And then you throw in maybe Karen Carpenter and Joni Mitchell, yeah. you know, as well as maybe my gospel, you know, beginnings. And, yeah, somehow it just, like he said, organically became this Americana sound.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was kind of, you know, especially our first two albums, especially our first one. It was a very hard sound to kind of to categorize.
Uh-huh.
And we've been very, very fortunate to be recognized by the Arkansas Country Music Association, the Arkansas Country Music Awards, with seven nominations since 2018.
Now eight as of yesterday.
Yeah.
Oh, well, congratulations. Yeah.
That's
awesome.
Yeah. But it was interesting that they found a place at the table, because we're very far from country, as far as pure country. So, like you said, I guess Americana, the umbrella kind of catches a lot of things. And but I do think our sound is very unique, and it has served us well.
Definitely both storytellers, so I'm not surprised we got invited tonight to celebrate with the poets.
Sure.
Yeah, it seems like country as a category has sort of lost its identity. I'm not sure if that's the right way to say it or not. But the Americana scene and bluegrass and folk and the different experimental kinds of folk and Americana music all seem to be resonating lately, even more so than it used to with a larger group of people. And I think country music kind of has been forced to recognize that, you know, I mean, Bonnie Raitt winning a Grammy, you know, it I think to me says that Americana artists are finding a footing in the mainstream music. So I'm glad that the Arkansas Country Music Awards recognized you guys as fitting into that category.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, the traditional country or the country scene as we know it is pretty fractured.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost like, you know, there's a lot of bailout to the Americana category.
Sure.
You know, it's absorbing a lot of people like the Willie Nelsons and the Brandy Carlisles,
right,
and the Bonnie Raitt.
Bonnie.
And boy, that song was a tremendous song. I was so happy I was so surprised, like everybody else, when she won the Grammy for it. But what, I mean, who doesn't tear up about three quarters of the way through that song?
Right.
You know.
Yeah. It was a beautiful song, just brilliantly written. Was songwriting for the two of you, is that always been kind of front and center? Were you guys ever cover artists, or were you always writing your own material?
I think that's kind of unique for us. I mean, Justin started a lot younger than I did, and he was in a cover band at some point. I'll let you speak to that. But I started writing when I was 36 years old. I was actually a hospice social worker, and
wow.
There was a woman my age dying from breast cancer, and it actually sparked a very upbeat song. But I've been writing ever since.
Hmm.
So I love the fact that we get to do our own music.
Yeah.
Not everybody's doing it. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I started, like Laura said, I was very young when I started playing guitar, and you know, my parents were amazed that when I was 5 years old, you know, I was lip syncing to old Merle Haggard and Glenn Campbell records to the mirror.
That's cool.
So they decided to get me my first guitar. And of course I went through the standard lessons and, you know, the church choirs and things like that. But when I was like late junior high, early high school, when I first heard James Taylor, it changed everything that I thought about
mm-hmm.
playing guitar. and it really affected me. And I knew I wanted to write songs at that point because I knew that everything he was saying was moving me so much that it was just a powerful thing. Yeah. And so, so my songwriting came long before the cover band stage. You know, I think playing cover songs for songwriters is just a bad necessity sometimes because that's how you have to keep your gigs when you're coming up. I mean, sure. People sometimes they don't want to hear those original songs. They want to hear those cover songs.
Right, yeah. Well, it's always kind of neat to hear a band bring their own interpretation to a classic song. You know, it just kind of pops up in the middle or towards the end of a set. You know, it just seems to kind of be the icing on the cake, you know, almost an honoring those that created music before you did kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And
that's a great point because, you know, as songwriters, I may go off on a tangent here, but it's like, we always think that we're being so unique and we're so original with what we say and what we write. But the bottom line is that it is all just a conglomeration of things that we've heard in our life that is packed back there in our brain. Mm-hmm.
And a new way, our own unique way to say the same thing, huh?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Like, I don't know how you write a broken heart love song at 16, Justin, you know?
Well, that's because I was listening to you know, the James Taylors and people like that. And sure. So, yeah, I've always been very, very interested in the dichotomy between an original thought and what is, you know, just stored from what has come before, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah. I don't remember if I asked you this the first time that we talked, but maybe things have changed. Have you guys been able to do this as a full-time career? And if so, how did the pandemic affect it? And if so, are you back to it as a full-time pursuit?
I'd be curious what would have happened pre-pandemic because we were really starting to pick up our pace.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were about to release our sophomore album, would have been released early in 2020. And obviously we had to postpone the release of that. We had a whole tour lined out, obviously, to tour and share that music. And that didn't happen. Mm. So we had to move to a virtual platform and kind of regroup. And
And we were very fortunate to have other means of income, especially during that time, you know, because we were able to really operate freely when there was a lot of people that didn't want to leave their house, didn't have the money to leave their house.
Mm-hmm.
But we were able to promote an album during that time, and we were so blessed.
Yeah.
And so we still have other means of income because it sure is a nice thing to fall back on. And I don't think the whole scene is cranked fully back up yet. Some people say it is.
Mm-mm.
But
I do feel grateful now that you mentioned that, Justin, that we had those other sources of income because we saw some of our brothers and sisters struggling that did it full time, that was the only income they relied on. And
A lot of those bands have struggled to make it back to a full time effort again, too. It's sad to see that go that way.
Yeah, so we're just kind of playing that by ear, you know. I mean, if it becomes evident that we need to go at this a little harder, so to speak, then we're prepared to do that for sure.
You mean play harder, right?
Play
Is that
harder.
What you mean? Yeah,
that's right.
So you guys have released two albums, and we talked about the nominations from the Arkansas Country Music Association, and also you, I think, received either nominations or awards in the video category, right? Is that correct?
Well, we've gotten some attention internationally. I know that we've won some film festivals for short form music videos, and that's just really, really cool. Because, you know, videos are so fun to do, and it's always neat to go into them. Sometimes you don't know what the interpretation from a video standpoint is really going to be of your song.
Right.
And I mean, today, video is a necessity. It has been for some time now.
Right.
It's probably the primary means of the way people listen to music sometimes. So to get that kind of recognition, both here and overseas, has been very cool.
And I love to express myself that way, and Justin's learning to love it.
Yeah.
Laura's a little bit more. She's a little bit more outgoing towards the public than I am. I'm more of the behind the scenes, detailed oriented guy. But you know, you've got to smile on, and you've got to act the part when you're doing these videos.
That's right.
I'm at home in front of a camera, but you're having to learn that a little bit. Yeah,
that's cool. It's a nice additive to another way to express your music, which is fun.
Absolutely.
So you guys have a new single, or fairly new. It's been out for a little while, I guess, right? River and Me?
Yeah, just actually came out in January.
Okay.
Yeah.
So not real long.
No.
And yeah, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, is that part of an upcoming new album, or is it something from one of your earlier albums?
Well, it's got a very interesting story to it, because that song is actually an outtake from the Fugitive Heart sessions.
Okay.
And it was recorded in a kind of a different way. You know, we've used Anthony Crawford, who's fantastic, just a fantastic producer that did our first two albums. And it was a song that our guitarist Buddy Case had started. I'll let Laura talk about how the song formed, but we recorded it in a little bit different way, in that it was more of a live take as opposed to laying over tracks. And it just didn't sound like anything else that we put on Fugitive Heart, so we left it off the album. Mm. But the song has been so popular with our fans, concerts, things like that. It was requested so much that we knew we wanted to do something with this track. And what a great way than to dress it up in a video. Mm-hmm. And it had this old-timey sound to it, and our videographer helped cultivate that old-timey look and sound. And it just turned out great.
Yeah, I think we need to really pause right here and honor Buddy Case. When we released our debut album, it was just this sweetheart duo. I won't say little. Sweetheart duo with that support from Anthony, like Justin mentioned. Mm-hmm. And Buddy heard our music and wanted to join with us. And he was very welcome, because he helped us bring that full sound to our live show. And so he had been playing with us, and he brought us this idea for the River and Me. He was living, you know, near some water at the time, as I was living on the levee, literally on the levee. Well, not literally on the levee, a few feet from the levee of the Arkansas River. Yeah, so it's our first co-write together, the three of us.
Okay.
Our buddy's had some health issues in the last, he was Guitar Player of the Year in 2021, awarded in June that year, and he had a stroke in August, and he's really struggling to find his way back.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah.
So it adds some extra special meaning to this song for sure.
Well, it does, and, you know, it gave us a chance. You know, we don't know if we'll ever be able to re-record it, to answer your question. I don't believe that it is going to be on our third album, which we do have plans for very soon, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
So we wanted to do it to kind of honor Buddy and the great song that he helped start with us. And so that's kind of the way we kind of killed two birds with one stone. We got a great song out there. We had an opportunity to have Buddy be a part of it, which his health has really been bad.
Mm.
And we were able to get him down to the river for the video. And, you know, he's the guy with the pipe.
Mm,
you know,
he's
Old Man River.
Yeah.
And so, he really, really enjoyed taking part in that.
You mentioned a third album. What plans are in the works for that? Did you all write specifically for the next album, or are these songs that you've pulled from your catalog?
Well, I believe that is probably going to be, the majority is going to be fairly new, and being new, I mean over the last year and a half or 2 years or something like that. It's just been kind of collecting the songs.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that we're writing anything specific. We're just kind of kind of putting them in the vat, so to speak, as they come along.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have a pretty catalog, so we will pull a few from that, like you said. But, I mean, we're just songwriters at heart, and I don't think either one of us can help but continue to write. And so, yeah. I mean, in my opinion, Justin's both one of my favorite songwriters, and I think he's prolific. So the music just continues to pour from him. Now, I started playing the ukulele, and so mine have gone toward the ukulele and just this playful, mm-hmm. maybe some more like children's songs might be in the future. And
right. That's
just
cool.
Yeah. Lighthearted. Yeah.
I think, Greg, probably with this next album, I think it's going to be more, you know, we've always gone to Anthony Crawford with a specific plan in mind. These are going to be the songs.
Mm-hmm.
I think this may be more, we've got quite a collection. This may be more of just going down there and getting everything we can down and then kind of sorting through it. So
the
way this album sounds and its themes and things like that are probably yet to be determined.
Are you saying you're going to let this be a mystery, Justin?
Well, I'll fight it, but it may just turn out to be that way.
The man with the plan is going to, you know, make some room for the mystery to unfold.
Do you have a projected date in mind when you'd like to see this come out?
I think it will probably be fall to winter of this year.
Okay.
at the soonest, I would think.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So what's the spring and summer and fall schedule look like for you guys as far as playing out, any sort of tour? Will you leave out of the Arkansas, your neighborhood, so to speak, much? Do you get out into other states? Do you have a plan for this year?
Well, I think we're just going to be fairly regional right now.
Mm-hmm.
The scene in Arkansas specifically is really starting to come to life. You know, we mentioned that it's not fully formed again
mm-hmm.
yet,
mm-hmm.
but still, we are making some contacts around here. Memphis is not very far away from here.
Mm.
That's always a good spot.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think anything on a national scope, but I know that we will be playing on a regional level.
We did level. Get some international invitations off of this, you know, song when it came
That's
out.
Cool.
So it'd be fun to do that. Well, it's not a plan yet, but something we both think of.
Right.
And
yeah.
Greg, I'm hoping to, or planning to release a book this year, a handbook of healing with Mayan mantras and sound healing. So I'm going to Mexico in a few weeks and going to be working on that as well. So
that'll be
a bit
fun.
Of international travel.
Yeah. Cool. So if people want to dial in with you guys and what you got going on and your earlier stuff and get on a list somewhere to anticipate the new music, how do you guys like to communicate with your fans?
I think just send them to www.tenpennygypsy.com. We've gotten so many compliments on our website. You know, so many websites today just have the front. You know, the only thing you can really access is what's going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
Are very easy to navigate where you can see everything. You can see...
Steeped in history, too.
Yeah, I mean, everything that we've done, whether it be, you know, like interviews
mm-hmm.
and things like that. It's all readily accessible, very easy to move around, so... That's where we send people if they want to find out about Ten Penny Gypsy.
And of course, they can find us, you know, at Instagram and Twitter, and we have personal Facebook pages as well as a Ten Penny Gypsy Facebook page. We always say, please do go find these, you know, social media sites and like us, be our friend. We want to be your friend, so find us.
Yeah,
you
that's
know?
Awesome. Well, thank you guys. It's so good to catch back up and hear what's going on and. I'll look forward to the new stuff, and in the meantime, we'll enjoy the video, River and Me, and wish you the best with all of it. Thank you.
Well, I appreciate it, Greg, for everything you've done in the past and right now to support us, and hopefully we can talk again maybe when our next project comes out.
I would love to.
And I want to invite you to cheer us on as we hopefully go for the win this year with our songwriter showcase we created in 2017 is up for an Arkansas Country Music Award. We found out yesterday.
Very cool.
You can vote for that. Very cool. Houston, and we hope for that win this year. So.
Yeah, it's very interesting, Greg, because we've been nominated 7 times in performing categories, and the one nomination we got this year was for publication, blog, podcast of the year with this online showcase we've been doing, as Laura said.
Wow.
So we're very honored by that. Just interesting that it's in a non-performing category. We may have to reassess what we're doing.
Well, yeah. It's because we have to show virtual in 2020.
Right.
Taking it virtual, creating that podcast. We perform live every month on that podcast.
Awesome. Well, keep us in the loop on that. I sure hope you win, and we want to know about it if you do.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right, great.
Thank you, guys. Have a great day. Thank you very much.
You too. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
Thanks again for tuning in to this episode of Americana Music Profiles. Find us on iTunes at Americana Music Profiles and on the internet at AmericanaRhythm.com.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Frenino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune into Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.